Welcome to Sports Business Secrets. I'm your host, Kevin Tarka. This podcast is specifically designed to share secrets from experts in the sports business world to help you along your own path to success in this industry. Each episode is packed with lessons and insights that never expire. You'll hear from general managers of professional teams to CEOs of sports tech companies to agents, coaches, players, and everything in between. I invite you to join me in real time on my personal journey of representing players and coaches, traveling the world, and always finding a way to battle through obstacles in this competitive industry. Happy Sunday, my friends. All right, we got a fun one today. So I've been brainstorming this one for a while, and recently in a social media post, I talked a little bit about it, but figured it was time to dive deep in an episode. I'm actually going to make it two episodes because there's so much to talk about. So if you follow me, you know that I spent the past several days in Tokushima, Japan, visiting Toyo. And for a little recap on Toyo, he's a 6'10 big who was born in Tokyo. So obviously Japanese, moved to California, and he played for coach Justin Piergrossi at Skyline. And then he just recently signed his rookie deal with Shibuya Sunrockers in the B League in Japan. And obviously we put him on a loan to Tokushima for year one with coach DeMarcus Berry. So great situation. If you want to find out more about that signing, you can go back to that episode. I talk all about it. But today's episode is geared towards running a successful club abroad. So what experience do I have running a successful club abroad? Absolutely none. At this point, feel free to turn this episode off if you'd like. or you can keep listening as I share my thoughts on what I believe based on my experience so far, being really immersing myself in many cultures and seeing the success and, in quotes, failures of clubs abroad, and maybe just having some notes on the reasons why I think that happened. So these are things that I believe are needed for a club to be successful. Now, after I made that post the other day, which mentioned these four characteristics, which, by the way, I have a hate-love relationship with you know, telling my story and updating people on where I'm at. And, you know, I like to be as open of a book as I can, because I think, first of all, people benefit from hearing it. I know that people don't really know what I do sometimes, or what agents do, or how professional basketball works abroad. And so I like to tell stories. I enjoy storytelling. And then I also like to highlight my clients and the good people that are involved in this industry. But yeah, it feels a bit draining sometimes, because I feel like I always have to post. And as much as I love posting and sharing my travels, it does kind of feel strange. It also, like, the reactions of what other people think still do kind of creep inside my head sometimes. You know, I know that people are probably saying, all right, Kevin, we get it. You travel. Cool. You're in another country again. And to some people, it might come across as boastful, like, hey, you know, look at me, I'm traveling, which it is what it is. You know, luckily, I don't stay in that mindset forever. I'm human, so that stuff creeps in. But I don't really care what people think at this point. I'm genuinely trying to share my story. So whether you're rooting for me or you're rooting against me, I'm still going to do me. There I go again on a tangent. Back to what I was saying. So part of that post was four characteristics that I believe these clubs need to be successful. Now, there's no one-size-fits-all answer to this. Every market's different, the same way every NBA team is different, and front office is different, and leader is different. What the Warriors did to win their championships is probably different than what the Celtics did to win theirs, which is different than what the Cavs did to win theirs with LeBron, which is different than what the Bulls did to win theirs with MJ and crew. It really depends, so take it with a grain of salt. But I do believe there are some core qualities or values that clubs specifically abroad have to have that do end up correlating, in quotes, to successful seasons. So I listed four of them. Today I'll talk about two. And then tomorrow's episode we'll finish the last two. So number one, leadership that has a combination of basketball and business experience. What do I mean by this? So, I mean, obviously you have to know basketball, right? You have to know basketball to be able to run a professional basketball team. You would hope, at least. You would hope that teams check that box with the coach they hire, like the actual coach of the basketball team. But you'd be surprised at how many organizations I've come across where the people making the decisions, like player evaluation and selection decisions, are not basketball people, or are being the coach that they hire is being influenced by non-basketball people. And by basketball people, I mean like legit basketball IQ people, whether it's a former player or someone who's been coaching in organizations, I don't care if it's a different level, or someone that has experience like evaluating, scouting, playing the game. Not just someone that sees, you know, the name on a jersey in USA and sees 26 points per game and says, yeah, let's take that person just because they make the decisions. You're probably laughing at that, but trust me, there are a lot of times that happens. People that are in decision-making spots regarding players, just because they have the budget, they've made offers based on seeing a few dunks on a highlight film. That has literally happened. So in addition to that basketball experience, there should be someone else that has business experience. Again, this all depends on the league, the level, the market. Teams in third division in some places, or quite honestly in first or second, don't have a long list of personnel. They just don't. Some teams have a coach who's also the GM, who's also the main scout, who also does the operations and who coordinates the hotel rooms. That doesn't mean the organization is not able to be successful, but putting all of those responsibilities on the basketball coach's plate definitely makes it tough. So for the higher level teams or let's say more professional leagues that do have other staff, this is important. So a team manager or a president of basketball or GM or sport director, right? These roles are defined differently in different places. Sometimes it's basketball related. Sometimes the GM covers the business side. Any way you look at it, there needs to be someone with business experience or acumen. For what reasons, you say? Well, I mean, look, business experience, mindset, and leadership can add a tremendous amount of value if it's implemented the right way. I'm not going to spend 20 minutes going to a deep dive on going over the a full budget or why, because that's going to be a module in the next online course. Shameless plug there. Go check it out. But business experience can help with budgeting and operations and logistics of travel and leadership and managing people. And it's really the combination of being able to organize that, but also understand the basketball side, in my opinion. I mean, just because you can organize a flight that has a great price and you have a business background doesn't mean you should book that flight because it's cheap, right? Like, what if the team has a game the night before and that game ends at 10 p.m. and there are two flights the next day? One's at 6 a.m. and it's cheap, and one's at 4 p.m. And a lot of times people would book that 6 a.m. flight in that position just because it saves a couple thousand bucks, and they're not even thinking about the repercussions of that. So that saving of the couple $100 or $1,000 might result in an exponentially negative effect, because the players, the main assets, they're not able to rest properly after that game. And not only are they pissed off because they get back to the hotel at midnight and got to get up at 4 a.m., but they're physically and mentally drained, which then drags into practice the next day, which then could result in a poor performance or an injury, and then a few losses in a row. So that's definitely one reason why the business side needs to be mixed with the basketball side. And then another reason is when you talk about the business side, not that basketball coaches don't have the business background, but if you're the head coach, or if you're a basketball coach, you're hired to, and you would assume that you want to, and that's your passion, to coach basketball. So the business person should be able to add value in other ways, like revenue generation. So if you have an additional person that maybe knows basketball or doesn't, whatever, hey, let's generate some revenue, because the majority of teams abroad lose money every single year. That's a fact. So having someone that come in and says, hey, let's get some priorities straight here. Let's hire the proper staff. Let's set up a partnerships team. Let's set up a sales and marketing team. Let's go out to the community, sell some sponsorships. Let's get all of our guys exposure in that community, which is not just a good thing PR-wise, making the guys happy and boosting their profiles and their exposure, but it leads to demand, which leads to people coming to the game, which leads to little kids wanting autographs, which leads to little kids buying jerseys and families buying jerseys and then buying tickets to the game. So all of this is revenue generating if you do it the right way. The point is, business experience plus basketball experience is very necessary. That was number one. Number two, full transparency and communication between all stakeholders. One of my biggest pet peeves in general, let alone in the work that I do, it gets me really fired up even thinking about saying this out loud. It's a lack of communication because it happens far too often. So when you really break it down, everything circles back to communication and whether somebody and all parties communicated properly or they didn't. And this is one of the four main characteristics. They all kind of go intertwined with each other, but if there are gaps in the communication between any of the major stakeholders that make the club go around, that is a disaster waiting to happen at some point during the season. It might not it might not look like it in the beginning or show up, but it will show up later if what was talked about and communicated about or not happens or doesn't happen. Okay, and so who are the stakeholders I'm talking about? I'm talking about everyone that has any sort of impact on the club, day-to-day and basketball-wise. So from both internally, from top to bottom, from ownership, especially, to GM, to coach, to sport director, to players, to managers, and externally, sponsors, agents, for sure, the community. Those are a few that are at the top of the stakeholder list externally. But it is imperative that thoughts, plans, strategy, what's on the projections, that it's discussed transparently and effectively. So we'll start internally. It is far too common to see a lack of transparency between ownership and the team. Many owners will say one thing and then take action differently during the season, and that's frustrating for many people. And again, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. It's not everyone, but one or two times is enough that ruins a situation and, yeah, it gives a bad reputation for some markets and teams abroad. So the easiest one to talk about is the budget. As I talked about before, not a lot of teams make money. Most teams lose money. And so you have owners or decision makers that are always having that top of the mind, which I get, but some people say, yeah, we're going to allocate this much money for acquiring players, just one part of the budget. And then something happens and he or she changes their mind. That is not successful team communication internally. Or if it's between coach and players, right? Far too often you hear it's not just owners and the people with the money. You know, agents are at fault, coaches are at fault, players are at fault. Everyone has their situations. It's all communication. But far too often you hear coaches recruiting players to come to their team because X, Y, or Z or sport directors will say, yeah, you know, we don't have a huge budget. I mean, that's the first thing that always comes in a message or a phone call from sport directors anywhere. Yeah, we don't have a big budget, but usually for me at this point, it's a click. But yeah, you know, it's a great stepping stone. And they'll be trying to pitch to a player or an agent, like, we have everything you need to be successful. We want you to be our leading scorer. We're going to build around you. Some or all of which may be true, but far too often a player will arrive and something isn't the way that it was explained, or there was something that was hidden a little bit or deceived to the player, right? The apartment is a shitty apartment, or no one answers the phone if a player needs transportation to the gym, or the facility is not conducive to getting better for players to work on their game in terms of accessing shooting in the weight room, like they said. So no, you don't have everything that player needs to be successful. And if only you communicated that from the beginning, things wouldn't be so chippy. If that was communicated and said, hey, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's not a sexy destination. We don't have the nicest facility. We can't promise you're going to get the highest salary in the league that you might want and you might be worth. But here's X, Y, and Z why we think it could work out and why we care for you as a player and a human. We have a passion for what we do. And we're going to do everything in our power to win together this season. So we all win. But also, if you do what you need to do, we're going to do everything in our power to help you get to the next level. My goodness, that is a night and day conversation from what I said earlier, right? And that's a team I'd be pumped to play for. So if you set expectations early and you do as you say, then you have the opportunity to be successful. Obviously, you need to play good basketball after that. But it really all comes back to communication. So those first two things are huge, right? And this is only knowledge that I have through experience. And although it's frustrating at times, It's all experiences that are that are shaping kind of my journey and my vision for how this whole industry works, and my personal thoughts on how to be successful in different markets of the world. Because when I get the opportunity to run my own team as GM, and eventually when I own my own team, these are all values and policies that are going to be implemented in the organization that I'm involved with. So that's enough for today. That was 15 minutes of blabber. Hopefully, that resonates with you. Tune in here for part two tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, my friends. If you enjoyed the episode or if it brought you any value at all, it would mean the world to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you share it on social media, make sure you tag me at Kevin Tarka. If there are any topics that you want me to dive into or any guests you'd love for me to have on the show, just shoot me a message and I will do my best to make it happen. Have an amazing day and hope to see you back here soon.